fantasy isn't about winning. It's about irritating everyone in your league. And I think that's about the best way to do
for
it.
For some people.
Yeah.
We're back, everybody. What a weird and wild week, huh, Dave? We had some Halloween action. We had some...
We had the spookiest podcast ever.
We had more wedding action for you and me.
We did.
And then we also had a kind of crazy trade deadline that we'll talk about a little bit today in our Week 9 Rankings podcast on Fantasy Outliers, the podcast brought to you by FantasyOutliers.com.
Hey, everybody.
Hi, I'm Dave.
And I am also Dave, Brother Dave, Bro Dave, whatever you want to call me.
Yeah, I'm just Dave. I guess I'm Beard Dave.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
What is the most irritating way to lose in fantasy?
Oh, man. Well, I think there's sort of a hierarchy of annoying losses in fantasy.
All right.
One is to lose to my sister.
Okay.
That's number one on my list.
One.
And I know she's listening, and I know she feels the same way about me. It doesn't matter how it happens. So I imagine losing to family is pretty high on everybody's list.
All right.
Okay. Number two is to lose on Monday night by a junk time, meaning nothing reception, which I have done before in a Super Bowl against people before in a game that, for example, the Bears were losing and my man Jay Cutler connected with Alshon Jeffrey, and I had started both of them, and I went from being down 15 to being up a point, and I won.
All right, you're really close to what I was getting at.
Okay.
All right, this is mine.
Okay.
I won this. Mm-hmm. It was a Monday night, this Monday night.
Right.
And I'm going up against this guy who changed his name to League Emperor in our league, who is the biggest smack talker in the whole league.
Mm-hmm.
And we were very close, and I had one player left, my kicker.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like the start.
And I beat him, and he gives me... Yeah, I get a text message from him the next day that says, cool 21 points from your kicker, ass.
Oh, you have to beat that.
Yeah, well, but, you know. But,
yeah, so that's it. So you beat somebody with 21 points out of a kicker.
Yeah.
So who is this mythical kicker?
Harrison Butler, the guy for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's been like on a tear lately. When we were talking about cleaning out the back half of my team last week, he was one of the guys I picked up, and it worked out flawlessly.
When you're like, I'm fine, I'm moving on from Matt Prater, and now I'm getting...
Yeah, yeah. Because fantasy isn't about winning. It's about irritating everyone in your league, and I think that's about the best way to do
for
it.
For some people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that is amazing. I was going to say the last most annoying way to lose is through a defensive stat correction.
Oh, no, that's probably it.
Yeah. So every week when I'm in a close matchup, I'm always afraid that that's going to happen.
Oh, stat correction is the worst. That has got to be worse than losing to a kicker on Monday night.
So, well, that's great. That's a terrible way to lose. So we just ranked something fun, and now we're going to rank other things fun. We're going to rank players for this week because our projections are out.
We have week nine ready.
And
we had to run them twice.
We did have to run them twice because of the trade deadlines. In particular, those running backs really got messed up, didn't they?
Yeah.
Just a reminder for everybody of how this goes. These are new projections that we've developed based on weekly projections for individual player performance using a total value system like we've done for all of our other measurements. We take a look at them, try to find the people who we think are surprisingly high starts, surprisingly low starts, and surprisingly startable starts, meaning people that you might be able to plug in as a kind of short-term injury or bye week replacement. So before we dive in, I just want to go back over who's on bye this week, because this is actually the second week in a row where we've had six teams on bye. And so pickings are slim again. A lot of people are going to be out there looking for spot starts this week. So a lot of people are going to be taking chances.
Yeah, I am getting massacred by bye weeks. Yeah, I've got a couple teams where my entire bench is byes almost.
Ooh, that's brutal.
Yeah, like five people.
So the teams are on bye this week. Chicago, Cleveland, Los Angeles Chargers, still tough to say, Minnesota, New England, and Pittsburgh. So if you take a look at that, that is three 10, top 15-ish running backs between Le'Veon Bell, Melvin Gordon,
Jordan Howard.
Jordan Howard. correct? A couple of bad replacement running backs in Duke Johnson and Isaiah Crowell. And then a number of good wide receivers, of course, when you, especially when you take a look at our friends Antonio Brown, Brandon Cooks, Chris Hogan, Stephon Diggs. Chicago, Cleveland doesn't really have anybody. In the Chargers have a few people that have been good for spot starts. But so that's kind of the scope of it, is that there's probably three or four major slots that everybody's that in each position that need to be filled this week. So there's a number of people out there feeling the pain.
Did we mention Jerick McKinnon?
Did not mention Jerick McKinnon. Yeah. So McKinnon is, you know, he's towards that end of RB2 in my mind still, but definitely, you know, so that brings it up to probably five top 24 running backs gone this week. So before we dive in, just wanted to make sure everybody knows why some of the names that we're talking about are the ones we're going to be talking about this time.
We got to go deep this week.
We got to go deep this week. We are all desperate. So to start, we are going to take a quick look at quarterbacks this week, especially with good quarterbacks like Tom Brady out this week and not great quarterbacks like DeShone Kizer out this week. So, quarterback, if you look at the week nine rankings, is not super surprising given who's left on the active this week. But what's really pretty cool is that, you know, Kirk Cousins is now quarterback number one going into his matchup this week against Seattle. I think last week, a lot of people, it was a much scarier matchup in some ways. And in fact, Seattle's defensive rank against quarterbacks was higher, I think, last week. I think it might have been ranked as number three or four. This week, it's all the way down to 12 because of the fact that Deshaun Watson kind of lit them up last week, even though he threw a number of interceptions.
Right. We were saying last week that Mathbox is not really afraid of these supposedly scary matchups for certain positions. Quarterback is one of them.
Right.
And seeing what Deshaun Watson was able to do last week, I mean, I have that much more confidence that Kirk Cousins will be fine.
Yeah. And Kirk Cousins has been really decent, right? He's been up and down. He hasn't had three games in a row of 30 plus points like Watson has had, but you know, I feel confident.
Yeah, it should just give you more confidence that you can start him.
Yep. Deshaun Watson's number two by way of just throwing out, closing the loop on where he's at this week after his great performance last week. Number two against a really soft Indianapolis defense.
He'll be fine.
The rest of the kind of rankings are of the top 10 anyway, aren't too surprising. We got Alex Smith sneaking in there at number 10. You know, I think that for some reason he's kind of looking down a little bit against Dallas this week. Still startable, still a guy who's on waivers, who's really close to, if not at the top of quarterback scoring so far this year. So I would keep rolling him out there for now. The thing that's interesting about this week and then the next few weeks is if you are looking to replace Tom Brady or looking to replace Ben Roethlisberger for some reason at this point, the names that are available in leagues for potential spot starts, I think, are a little scary, but also familiar to everybody.
Yeah, I think some of them might just be surprisingly good starts based off of, you know, maybe guys that are kind of not the best reputation, but might actually put up some numbers for you.
Right. So the first one that we have on our list for someone to consider as a spot start, we talked about in our waiver article, and that's Eli Manning.
Yeah.
Which Eli pains Manning me against to say.
Against the Rams, who are, you know, pretty good top third passing defense. So not the best start, or not the best...
not the best matchup.
Yeah, but not the best matchup, but again, Mathbox not afraid of it.
Yeah, I mean, it pains me to talk about Eli Manning in this way, but on the other hand, there's just not that many other people available at quarterback who aren't
100% above 60. Owned.
Well,
right.
My threshold is kind of above 60 or 50% when I'm doing this stuff. So Eli Manning's the top one this week. Tyrod Taylor is on that list too, although he is actually above 60% owned. He's probably started in many leagues.
Yeah, I think he got picked up a lot this week because of the situation, because of all the buys.
He is number 15 on our list this week. And then we have a trifecta of just goodness after that at 16, 17, 18, and Andy Dalton, Josh McCown, and Jared Goff.
I buy Dalton, though. Even though he has a bad matchup, I think I might buy Josh McCown even more. They both have bad matchups, but, you know, I think they're going to put up decent numbers. They haven't been terrible, so.
That's interesting because I actually go the total other way. I think that the
you don't
person
like him?
That I'm buying the most is Jared Goff this week. Even above Eli Manning in many ways, I think he's been better than Manning all year this year. Fantasy wise, as far as scoring goes, I think he's more reliable to not throw up like a 5-interception game, like an Andy Dalton can do randomly sometimes just get you. And, you know, his receiving core isn't, of course, as good as, you know, something led by AJ Green. But I think if I'm taking a shot at any of these guys, I might be going for the rookie and seeing if I can kind of catch lightning in a bottle.
Yeah, sure. I mean, just for reference, Josh McCown, the last few weeks has put up 20 points, 24 points, 18 points. I mean,
is he really?
Yeah, he's been respectable.
That's amazing.
Not against good defenses. I mean, you had New England, Miami in there.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe he'll have a much tougher time against Buffalo, who is actually pretty good. But, you know, you'd be surprised at how many points Josh McCown has put up.
Yeah, and Jared Goff, just by the way, facing the New York Giants this week, is the 28th best passing defense. So that's yet another reason that I'm kind of putting check marks on his side of the table. But yeah. I think those are some good streaming options. The last note that we would just throw out on quarterback before we kind of move on is the way things are looking over the next, you know, from here to the end of the regular fantasy season is basically 4 weeks. It's week 9, 10, it's 5 weeks, I guess, counting week 9. If you look at who we have at the top of quarterback scoring over the next 4 weeks, I think it's pretty interesting to see one of MathBox's projections kind of returning to the fold at the top of the list, which is Russell Wilson at number 2 on that list and Drew Brees at number 1.
Yeah, it had Russell Wilson at the highest by about 10 points last week on that total 4 week projection, which was definitely an outlier. You know, he's beating everybody by quite a bit.
But he did go crazy last week.
Yeah, he did go crazy last week. And I think, you know, this is really just showing that Drew Brees is starting to catch up. I mean, it actually has him a couple points higher towards the end of the season. So,
yeah. So right now, our projection for the two best quarterbacks in scoring it through the whole season are Brees and Wilson as well. So this home stretch through the last 4 weeks is really going to make up a lot of that total, according to MathBotch projections anyway. So if you have those guys, feel confident and don't feel too much like their performance over the last couple of weeks is an outlier in any way. So moving on from here, we will go on to everybody's favorite position in fantasy football, and that is running backs. So for running backs, with those four or five guys missing out of the top 24, basically, things don't look too scary in the top 10. Once you get outside of that, they start to get a little wacky. But I do think what's one thing that's worth talking about for a second is the fact that even after last week, where, you know, it was a really good performance again out of Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara, they are still, Mark Ingram is our number one running back this week. Kamara is coming in the mid-teens. Right now, both still startable, according to this, both still ready to go. And, you know, if Mark Ingram hadn't fumbled twice last week, it might have been an even huger game.
Yeah, I mean, but still, he had 4 touchdowns in 3 games,
right?
You know, which he basically hadn't scored before that. So 2 games over 100 rushing yards in the past 3. He's going against Tampa Bay, which is, you know, 22nd against running backs. So
right.
He's got a really choice matchup. I guess you shouldn't be too surprised that, you know, he's the number one, or that he's way up the ranks.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say one thing I was just taking a quick look at is that he cools down a little bit. If you look at the next 4 weeks rankings, Ingram does. So it'll be interesting to see what happens as we kind of move through the rest of the Saints schedule from here, that he's been performing very much at a running back number one level. It looks like he might bump his way down towards the end of that tier, which is still great considering that I don't think anybody paid running back number one value for him
right
this year. But maybe don't get too reliant on him as carrying your teams forward.
Well, I think the number one ranking is really just he's got a great matchup against Tampa Bay.
Yep.
I mean, that's what I'm seeing here.
Yep. So the next guy to talk about is one of the big trade surprises for everybody this week, which is Jay Ajayi going from Miami to Philadelphia. What do we think? What do you think when you first heard the news?
I mean, I was surprised that 3 big trades went down, and I mean, that just basically
it never happens in football.
Yeah, it feels that way anyway. This is a big one. I mean, Miami has basically punted on its season.
Yeah, because they lost Jay Cutler. Yeah, they're not, so they're done.
Yeah, they're done, and they're trading away their best offensive weapon to, you know, for draft picks, basically. Right. So I think it's good for Ajayi owners overall. You know, he was getting basically all the workload in Miami, 90% of it or whatever. But Miami is not a good offense. I think they're bottom five in points scored.
Yeah.
So he'll have a lot more opportunities with the Eagles. They're pretty much the opposite offensively. They're a top shelf offense. And, you know, Blunt and Smallwood hadn't really done a ton.
Right.
But there's plenty of opportunities there.
Blunt has been performing like a top 20 running back sort of over the course of the year, almost by default. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with somebody who actually has some talent that people believe in that role.
Exactly. I mean, I think if you're an Ajayi owner, you should be super happy about this because he's going to have a lot more opportunity to score. He's going to get chances in the red zone, which he never really got that many in Miami.
Right.
He's going to have to split carries. I mean, they're not going to give him 25 carries a game.
We'll have to see how much actually happens given how well Carson Wentz has been throwing the ball, how much he actually gets a hold of.
Right.
Right.
But I think that now that they have a weapon that they obviously want because they traded for him and gave up some decent draft capital to get, they're going to put him in, and I think this, even if he gets 14, 15 touches a game and splits it with Blunt and Smallwood, depending on situation, they're going to be better touches.
Yeah.
So I think the arrow is just going to point up for Ajayi for the rest of the year.
And in fact, in the rankings, it does point up, right? He's at number 8 in our rankings this week. I think earlier in the season, we had him towards the mid, kind of late teens, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Another player that I talk about really quick in the top 10 that's interesting to me is Aaron Jones, who we talked about 2 weeks ago a lot. He is back from bye. He's got a different quarterback whose name I don't even remember right now.
Brett Hundley.
That's right.
Or Hundley or something like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
We can't decide if it's Huntley or Hundley.
Is it Brett or Brent? I don't know. It doesn't matter.
He sounds like a third stage at a country music festival headliner.
He's a country singer,
right?
We need to Photoshop him wearing a cowboy hat.
He's headlining the B stage.
You've heard of him, but you can't name any of his songs.
Yeah, that's what I was just trying to make up a song title for him, and I couldn't even do it.
No, you can't remember it.
Yeah, I can't remember my made up country singer's song titles.
I think somebody I knew likes him. I don't know.
Yeah, somebody I know burned me his CD.
We're probably just going to walk past that stage, though, and go on to...
Yeah, you got
to
go on to the bigger and better stages. I got to go see those Lumineers.
They're pretty good.
So we have him at number 6 this week. MathBox
Aaron Jones
believes... Aaron Jones, not Huntley. MathBox believes, I think that given the way that things are probably going to go down in Green Bay for the rest of the year, I think that Dave and I are both buying him definitely as a start.
Yeah.
It's very optimistic to me at number 6, but it does feel like somebody who, if you've picked him up and you have him on your team, he's easily in that range of top 24 for us. So I would start him with confidence.
Yeah. MathBox has started him. I mean, there's basically two narratives here, and we covered one of them last week, which is what do you do when you don't have a quarterback that you're confident about? You run the ball, you hide the quarterback, you throw short passes, that kind of thing, which is great for a running back. The other narrative that you'll hear everyone say is, well, the defense is just going to stack up for the run and bait the quarterback to beat them and throw the ball.
Right.
And if he can't, then no one gets anything done.
Right.
So that's basically what we're going to find out.
Yeah.
Is
yeah, I will say, really,
and Detroit is a decent defense, so...
But apparently not so much against the
run. Against the run, but overall they are.
Yeah.
So we'll see how this shakes out. MathBox still thinks he's a solid start.
We agree. A couple of other notes towards the end of the top 20. So if you still have Bilal Powell hanging around on your team, we have him as a start this week. MathBox has him as a start this week. I'm going to be looking elsewhere if I can, just because it's been so many weeks of frustration with him.
Yeah, I don't buy this one. I mean, MathBox has him at 13.
Yep.
I don't think so. I mean, I wouldn't start him. I mean,
if I could avoid it.
Yeah, if
now,
I could avoid
now,
it.
Now, if I'm in a situation
weeks,
where I've got a couple of these guys that are out, or, you know, Le'Veon Bell and he's on my bench, like maybe this is the week to plug him back in and try.
You might have to.
Yeah.
But if I could avoid it,
the matchup isn't great either against Buffalo.
No.
So this is in that same camp as like when we were talking about McCown, and we're kind of MathBox doesn't seem afraid of these matchups, but at the same time makes me a little touchy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the next guy on the list, couple spots down, yeah, right. Adrian Peterson, which is kind of a similar situation to Aaron Jones. I'm not 100% sure what's going to happen here. You would think he would get a lot of carries, but they might just be so bad that he can't do anything.
Yeah.
I mean, look, he's not 25 anymore. Yeah. You know, he's not as young as Aaron Jones. He may wear down over time, so we'll see. But he is coming off a bye week, so that's good for him.
Yeah, and in standard, we have him at running back 16, which means he's definitely a solid start at running back this week if you need him. In PPR, he was quite a bit lower, I think 6 to 8 point, ranks lower. So he might be right on the border in PPR. You might have better options.
Yeah.
But he's out there. He's waiting for you. He's Adrian Peterson. If we're looking at spot start territory where we actually start to be able to have some people available on the maybe on the waiver wire or people who you've had on your bench that you haven't got a chance to go for to plug in quite yet, we're kind of looking at the people that are right around running back late 20s. So we're talking about like running back 25 to 30. So there's a few names that are interesting in that list still. Alex Collins, who was kind of a trendy waiver wire ad this week.
Yeah, he was on like every list.
Yep, he is at 27 for us. I think that basically, if you think about it that way, he, for most people, Mathbox is basically saying he is safe as a mid-level flex for you this week.
Yeah, but that's about it.
Now, desperate times call for desperate measures, mm-hmm. and I'm sure there's plenty of people out there who are looking to add him to their teams to plug in as an RB2. He's not terribly far away from that ranking. He had a good game last week, so I think that there's a chance that he might be able to save you there. But I definitely would not say that our projections are in love with him going into week 9. A couple of names after that or around him include Samaje Perine again. With Rob Kelly looking like he's a little bit questionable for this week, you might be able to pick up some points from Perine. The problem is he's playing against Seattle, who, in spite of the fact that they've tumbled in the rankings against quarterbacks a little bit,
they're still pretty tough against.
It looks like they're still pretty tough against the running backs.
Yeah, so, top six. So,
although we do have him at running back 22. Right after Jonathan Stewart, who is at running back number 21.
I actually picked Stewart up because I needed a guy. Good matchup against Atlanta, so happy about that. I mean, he's been good, but not amazing. I think he's one of those guys that gets enough carries to be useful, and he's a perfect bye week fill-in. I was actually surprised he was available because he's about 70% owned in the leagues that I'm in, so a good spot start, but I'm not gonna lean on him too much beyond that.
I was definitely thinking the same thing because I'm pretty sure that I tried to pick up Stewart in the same league that you grabbed him.
Well, it's a good thing my team is worse than yours. Yeah,
exactly. Worse than yours, so you can add Jonathan Stewart to your roster.
Yeah. Yeah. One name that I thought was a little surprising how low it was Tevin Coleman.
Yeah, we have him in the mid-30s this week.
Yeah, and he's actually been decent, so I'm surprised Mathbox had him so low. I think I'm actually forced to start him in one league. So
yeah, I think this is one where there's another factor here, which is I was consuming some sports media earlier today, heard that there's some chance that Devonta Freeman might have some injury concerns this week. So I would be keeping an eye on that for the next couple of days to see what happens, especially, you know, if he practices on on Thursday, on Friday or not, all those kind of things. Because, of course, if one of those two guys is out, the other one could have a monster game.
Yeah, yeah, he's both a capable running back.
They're both generally starters, even when both of them are in.
Right.
So if one goes down, it could get pretty nuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. And then the last name that we would like to talk about really quickly is Marlon Mack, who was another trendy waiver ad this week. Somebody that we've advocated for a couple of times. Mathbox actually has him at number 41 this week. So well outside of starting kind of territory this week. He has a tough matchup against Houston, who is number 4 against the run.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised that he's that low.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, I wrote about him in the waiver wire pickup article earlier this week to talk about the fact that he's, you know, Frank Gore is not disappearing all the way.
They're kind of like splitting.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like Marlon Mack is gaining some momentum. He had some good plays last week, and it seems like they're just starting to split it. I mean,
yep.
People, like you said last week, like people have had Frank Gore on death watch for
way too long,
and he doesn't seem to ever go down. So, you know, Marlon Mack is maybe useful in some leagues, but he's not overtaking Gore, at least not by number of snaps carries.
I think Gore was ahead in touches, is what the data says, but Mack was actually ahead in snaps last week, which is kind of a weird split. It just means they had Mack in there maybe for more blocking plays and things like that. But he still managed to put in a top 15 performance last week, and so I think he could be useful on your team as somebody to either watch or somebody if you really need a shot out of the dark. Maybe you could give him a try, but Mathbox doesn't like it, so I think it's probably more of a hold for now. All right, so moving on to wide receivers. Got a couple of things to talk about at wide receiver, mostly having to do with situation changes and spot starts, because there's a bunch of people missing and a bunch of names that you should be able to reach for. So, like you might expect from what I just said, the top half of the wide receiver rankings contain essentially no matchup surprises, no names out of nowhere. The list, you know, especially without Antonio Brown in, or is basically Evans, Jones, Baldwin, Nelson, Landry, Green, Tate, Thomas, Fitzgerald, Bryant. That's your top 10. None of these names are too surprising. They've all been in the top 10 all year, essentially, or the top 12 to 14 weeks when everybody's playing. I do think that given future performance, two of these names are a little bit worrisome to Dave and I, at any rate.
Yeah, I'm looking at Jordy Nelson and Jarvis Landry.
Right, at number 4, at number 5 in Mathbox going into next week.
Jordy is obviously the quarterback problem. I mean, Mathbox is not afraid of it. I wonder if it is fully factoring in the quarterback change. But for the moment, it doesn't seem to care. Same thing with Jarvis Landry. I just worry about both of those offenses being effective enough to support a receiver that's been that productive the whole year.
I mean, my feeling about it is that I kind of believe a little bit more in Nelson than I do in Landry, just because
I do too.
Nelson is just way better. I mean, the counter narrative to that is Landry is going to be really good because he's a guy who just catches a lot of passes.
Yeah, he's going to get a lot of volume, whereas Jordy is
possibly just catching a lot of short passes, and maybe Jordy, you'll have something else happen. Jordy has a pretty good matchup this week against the Detroit defense that maybe is a little weak to wide receivers. They're actually number 26 in our rankings against wide receivers.
A good scoring defense overall for fantasy, but not necessarily against certain positions.
Right.
And wide receiver is one of those positions.
Right. So I think that we haven't had a great reason to move these guys down yet, but they're definitely both on the watch list for us as far as starting to doubt kind of putting them towards the top of wide receiver rankings.
But that's interesting. You say that Jordy, you're more confident in Jordy because he's a better player, but yet Jarvis Landry might catch all these short passes.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And
that's
be a safer play because he's better for a weaker quarterback.
Yeah, I think that's one of those things that we're trying to like untangle ourselves from as much as possible in fantasy football analysis. Is like we were saying, here's the narrative and here's the counter narrative, and you can kind of come up with reasons for either one of them to still be good, even with the quarterbacks being bad. I think that,
well, Green Bay is a better team overall,
right?
For sure. That's not true. Questionable.
Yeah, and also keep in mind that Miami lost their most serious ground threat too, which might put more pressure on you know the passing game basically. So it might make it even harder. Not to mention the fact that Matt Moore has looked pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, at least as bad as Cutler, I guess.
Yeah. But when we think about kind of combining the data with human insights, I think that maybe Dave and I have to go more like, these are both names that cause us to have alarm bells go off a little bit, and they're definitely people we'll be watching in the future. Mathbox says to go for now, and I think that I'm okay with going for now for both of them for this week and seeing what happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bye week. If you have these guys, you probably don't have better options, so you might have to start them anyway and just hope that that they do enough to make them worth a starting spot.
But my take, I guess, is that Landry has the potential to fall the farthest, the fastest, where if he just does nothing this week, I might even be looking somewhere next week. If Nelson doesn't do a lot this week, I'm probably going to start him at least one more week before I'm out.
I buy that.
So we'll see what happens from here, and we'll see what Mathbox thinks as these games actually happen from here. The rest of basically 10 to 23, there's nobody that we think that we can make available to people. There's not really anybody that's out of order rankings-wise in a way that we think is actionable, or someone that has snuck in that somebody you could grab off a waiver or plug in from your bench to try out, unfortunately. The only thing I think of note here is that Mathbox still believes in Demaryius Thomas. I actually kind of believe in Demaryius Thomas a little more with Osweiler throwing than I did with Simeon. It's marginal. It's like a marginal difference.
Simeon was so bad, though.
Simeon was so bad. Demaryius Thomas has been really good for a number of years. Mathbox has him at 11. I've renewed optimism.
You're buying it.
Renewed optimism about him being able to perform at that level. We have Amari Cooper back at number 12. He's fully back in everyone's good graces still after that monster performance 2 weeks ago. Didn't do much last week.
No.
But he has a pretty good, pretty medium. I'm surprised at this matchup with Miami at number 10 against wide receivers. So he actually has a little bit of a rough matchup going into this week too. So we'll see how he deals with it. I still think that Crabtree might be your better player there, who we have two spots lower. Dave still has to start both of them, though.
Yeah.
In a league where he has both of them.
Yeah, I do. I'm stuck.
So let's talk spot starts. So when you get down to wide receiver 23, basically.
We're looking at a list that includes Marvin Jones, Sterling Shepard, Marquise Lee, Willie Snead.
Ted Ginn.
Ted Ginn. Yeah, basically.
Those are basically the players that are still hovering near 50% owned in different leagues that you should be able to consider going out and grabbing. You know, Marvin Jones is somebody that we talked about a little bit last week, who's had a number of fill-in performances. He did it when Megatron was in Detroit, where if Megatron was hurt, Marvin Jones would pick up the slack. He did it last week a little bit when Tate was maybe still a little bit on, filling in for Tate a little bit.
Yeah, he had a solid game last week.
Yes, and Tate is still listed as questionable this week, so I think if you're taking a look at that possibility, I do think that how well Jones does is tied pretty much into how healthy Tate is.
Sure.
So if you're planning on starting Jones, you're going to want to keep an eye on that going into the weekend.
Yeah, but it's a solid matchup against Green Bay. I mean, he had 128 yards, 6 for 11 last week. If Tate is still out,
yeah,
I think you could expect something similar to that. Maybe not 128 yards, but at least, a decent amount of targets.
Yep.
And then moving down from there, Sterling Shepard, he's been out for a couple of weeks, injured, but, it's the same situation. Who is left to even catch passes in New York? Evan Engram, the tight end, has been doing most of the work, but if Sterling Shepard can come back, and it looks like he probably will, we're still a few days out, so it's hard to say for sure, but he's going to need a lot of volume, and he'll probably get it
right
if he starts.
Yeah. We've been talking about him.
I picked him up in one league.
We've been talking about him for a number of weeks now, just waiting for him to come back ever since Odell got hurt, and I think this might be the chance where we finally get to see what he can do in this situation.
Yeah. Matchup is not great against the Rams, but if you throw him the ball 12 times, he's going to catch a couple of them.
Yeah, exactly true. So we have two options on New Orleans at number 26 and number 20, number 30. Actually, we have Willie Snead and Ted Ginn. Both of them are in a pretty great matchup, of course, against Tampa Bay at number 32. We were just talking about how we expect Drew Brees to be one of the highest quarterback scorers for the rest of the season. And in order for him to do that, he's going to have to throw the ball to some places. We know that Michael Thomas is going to get a fair amount of those points. And, we have him ranked within the top 10. But
I think it's making Ted Ginn and Willie Snead become startable guys, even though they might be wide receiver threes or flex plays or whatever. Right. Right. This matchup is stellar, and I think Mathbox is telling you, okay, this week you might be okay to start these guys.
Yep. So for my part, I actually have been keeping an eye on Snead when he's been able to play, when he hasn't been able to play. He's been having a tough time staying on the field. He's been injured. He was suspended. Ted Ginn has been out there playing. I think, just anecdotally, I'm probably a lot happier to start Ted Ginn and take a shot on Ted Ginn in this range than I am on Snead. Yeah, they're ranked really close together in Mathbox. Mathbox does have Snead higher, but I think I'd probably reach down a little bit lower and go Ginn instead.
Snead has barely played this year.
Exactly.
So it's really hard to tell what he's going to be. And we know what Ted Ginn is. He's going to be up and down. Yep. He's going to be that big play guy. He runs straight down the field with his arm in the air. And if he gets past anybody, he gets the ball chucked to him.
Yep.
And that might happen a couple times a game. And you'll get a touchdown and some good yardage out of it. But if he doesn't get loose, you're going to get zeros.
Yep. And then the last person we have to talk about, Kelvin Benjamin.
Yeah. The other big trade, or one of the other big trades.
Yeah. Apparently a big trade in real football terms. People are kind of shocked by the fact that this happened.
Yeah, but Mathbox doesn't seem to care at all.
Mathbox does not seem to care at all. And it might just be taking a little while for the projections to catch up. I think that this just might be what it is.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Yeah.
So I mean, Mathbox
has... He's basically in the same spot this week as he was last week, even though he's playing for Buffalo. And, you know, they don't really have a whole lot of passing options.
Right.
But they also don't pass that much either. I mean, Tyrod Taylor is... You know, he's making his fantasy bones from running around all the time. He's not the most accurate quarterback. So I don't know if Mathbox is seeing that or what it's seeing exactly, but it's not in love with Kelvin Benjamin being the number one wide receiver in Buffalo.
And it also wasn't in love with him before being the number one wide receiver in Carolina, to be fair. He was still in our early 20s. Right now he's in our mid-20s.
Yeah. I mean, but that honestly, that's kind of a similar situation with Cam.
Yeah, that's true too.
Although I think Cam is a better quarterback than Tyrod Taylor.
Well, he's got an MVP award.
Yeah.
So I guess that counts for something. But yeah, so that's where we are on wide receivers. If you're looking for a spot start this week, we're thinking it's Marvin Jones, Sterling Shepard, maybe Marquise Lee, who we didn't talk about much, Willie Snead, or Ted Ginn. Okay, so last but definitely least for this week, week 9, tight ends. Mostly because we're missing Gronk, and also the surprisingly useful Kyle Rudolph and Hunter Henry too, I guess. So
yeah,
three guys that you might see started.
Well, also Jordan Reed probably not going to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Charles Clay still not going to play.
Yeah. He's not going to play either. Jordan Reed, the human injury. When Jordan Reed looks himself up on Google Maps, instead of seeing that blue little dot, he gets like a red cross symbol.
What?
I think.
Wow.
Because he's always
injured. Did you just make a joke?
I think I tried
to. Did you write that down before you came into my basement? Or did you just come up with that now?
I think I just came up with that
now. That's pretty good.
Is it?
I'll take it. Yeah.
I don't know. Nobody laughed.
Okay.
It's fine. There's only two of us here.
Okay.
But anyway, he's always hurt, and he's hurt again. He ran a route last week and didn't get hit and didn't get targeted and just, you know, hurt his hamstring again. So he's predictably out and probably won't play. So... Even though,
so math, you want to start with Reed?
No, well, I mean, Mathbox had him at what, 5 or 4?
Yeah,
so,
5 in PPR.
In PPR, but it doesn't matter because he's not going to play. So.
Well, but it does matter a little bit because Vernon Davis has actually been pretty good this year.
Okay, yeah.
And so if we take a second to think about like the number of opportunities that were projected for Vernon Davis. Isn't Vernon Reed the guitar player from Living Color?
Is it?
I think it is.
Oh, man. That is an 80s pull there.
Yeah. He's a guitar player from
Living
Color. Yeah. Check him out.
You know, what is that song that they...
Cult of Personality,
Cult of Personality. Dude. The guitar solo in that song is legit amazing.
Yeah, it's the best.
It is full on 80s. It's like a tapping solo, I think.
You know, that's one of my... That's one of my karaoke go-tos.
Is it?
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Corey Glover. Can't you just imagine me in the body glove suit?
Yeah, and the body glove with all the neon and and the dreads, like the neon stuff woven into the dreads.
Yeah.
The beads or whatever.
It's pretty, it's a good, it actually brings down the house because most people don't remember that song exists. And then you sing it and they're like, I remember this song.
Yeah. And it is.
Why are they singing about JFK?
It is. Yeah. Why, even then I was like, why are they singing JFK?
Yeah. You know what? It was only 20 years previous then.
Oh no. I mean,
we got old.
Yeah. But that is a legit good song.
Yeah.
Like the guitar solo is amazing. And that song
kills.
Like it kills. It stands up. The dynamics in that song are amazing.
Yeah. Great. So anyway, so if you guys want more information on Living Color, you can find Dave yeah. and I on our Living Color podcast from now on.
Yeah, it's going to be that. It's going to be Living Color and Smashing Pumpkins from now on.
Yeah, it's called Smashing Colors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you just come up with that?
Of course I did.
Okay.
Okay. So anyway, Vernon Davis, I think that, you know, if we look at...
Where does Mathbox have him? That's like,
well,
what?
Mathbox had he and Jordan and... He and Jordan Reed with the same points per opportunity, essentially. So if he's going to get more opportunities, I think there's a chance that he comfortably crawls up into being a top 10
yeah.
start this week as far as Mathbox is concerned. So,
he should be within the top 10 if you adjust that.
So if he's available, I think he's probably the best person to try to spot start this week, inspired of all the like craziness that's gone on with a couple of other spot start people over the last couple of weeks. Notably, Jack Doyle. Which is a person that we also think is good and Mathbox thinks is worth starting, had a great game last week, is definitely someone who we have in the top 10 that is available to be picked up this week. We wrote about him in our waiver article. Mathbox's week 9 predictions have come true as far as that goes.
Yeah, I was looking for him in one league and somebody got him before I could get him, but he was going to be my spot start.
Yep. And then our last spot start that we have for at tight end is Jared Cook. From Oakland, we still have him in the top 10 going into this week with a number of adjustments, you know, particularly with Reed and Clay being out. And like we said, Gronk and Rudolph and Henry also being out this week. So there's a bunch of people sneaking into that top 12 at tight end to consider.
Yeah, we talked about this one of the previous podcasts, but he's a guy that like habitually I just don't want to. I don't want to have anything to do with Jared Cook because he's always disappointing, but he's been okay. And he actually has a absolutely stellar matchup with Miami, who is 28th against tight ends.
Yeah. And just to go back to Doyle for a second, Doyle's matchup at Houston is actually 27th against tight ends. So they both have really good matchups,
which
this
is
week.
A really good timing since so many people are out.
Yeah. So the last person that we could talk about really quickly here at the end of tight ends is Delanie Walker, who we have projected to be tight end number 3. There's a good chance that he doesn't play this week, right? You were just looking at the injury news.
Yeah, it's not totally confirmed, but it doesn't look like he's going to play, or at least there's a chance he's not going to play. I don't think it really matters. I'm kind of surprised that Mathbox has him this high, just because he hasn't actually done a whole lot this whole year. I mean, he's had 3 games above 10 points, and he's a bunch of 7s and 5s and... since then. So actually not as good as you might think. I'm not sure why Mathbox has him this high. I mean, his matchup is okay against Baltimore, 20th against tight ends, but still, I mean, if you have him, you probably have to start him.
Yeah.
But I don't love it.
Do you think it's fair to say that even though Mathbox has Delanie Walker at number 3, you probably like Vernon Davis better? Do you start Vernon Davis?
This week?
Yeah. This week.
Yeah, based on previous history. Yeah, I would think so.
How about Jack Doyle? Would you start Jack Doyle over Delanie Walker? We have Jack Doyle at 7.
I don't know. I think I'd have to look at, I mean, he has a really good matchup, but I think I'd have to look at what he's done the last few weeks. I mean, he's been good, but he's definitely been better than Delanie Walker. Mm-hmm. So maybe I'm talking myself into it.
Yep.
But yeah, you would think that wouldn't be the case, but it is.
Yep. And so I'm going to ask you your favorite start sit question ever now.
Okay.
Would you start? So if you're moving into Doyle over Walker territory, would you go with Cook over Delanie Walker?
Cook over Delanie Walker.
With that great matchup against Miami.
I don't know. I'm just on the fence. Can I push on this one?
Sure.
All right.
I'm starting all of them over Delanie Walker for what it's worth.
Yeah, I mean, if I was not looking at Mathbox's predictions, I'd probably say Delanie Walker would be about 12th. So that puts him right around Jared Cook territory.
Okay. Perfect.
All right, so that's all the position groups. I did want to talk about defenses.
Right. So these are fully non-math box projection-based stuff, right?
No.
This is Dave Seal's special corner, his own projections defenses.
Yes, it
is. Not projections.
These are, well...
Good defense boys from Dave Seal.
These are Dave Seal's math box, I guess you could say. I love streaming defenses. I think it's one of the most underrated things in fantasy. I mean, I know a lot of people do it, and it's no surprise. It's part of, you know, how you play, I guess. But I think defenses overall are more predictable than individual players. Mm-hmm. And I'm not one that's super into predicting game flow or anything like that. But I think that defenses, once you get a couple of weeks, a good amount of stats in there, you can kind of predict pretty reasonably what's going to happen a lot of times, at least more than individual players. So looking at who has been good this season so far and what might happen the rest of the year, a couple of things stuck out. The first team, and this is probably the best
waiver wire ad.
Is the best waiver wire ad. Yeah, for sure.
For
streaming defense. As of last week, the Lions were fifth overall in overall scoring.
Mm-hmm. Overall fantasy scoring,
overall
just to be clear.
Fantasy scoring as a defense, yeah. They were only 46% owned. I imagine that has gone up since then because people realized what was happening. But their schedule is just absolutely stellar. So if you can pick them up, I would say absolutely do it. They're my number one ad. And I think one of the problems with having a podcast where you tell everyone what your opinions are is that the people that play in those leagues with you know what you're going to do, and they go pick up those people in front of you.
Yeah, I mean, I do that sometimes too now.
Yeah, exactly. So I tried to pick up the Lions in a number of leagues, and I didn't get them at all. But look at this. Week 9, they play at Green Bay, 20th against defense. Week 10, Cleveland, 31st. Week 11, Chicago, 30th. And then it only gets bad for 1 week. Week 12, Minnesota, 7th. Week 13, the last week of the fantasy season, against Baltimore, 27th. So they're a pretty good defense, and they have just an absolutely rock solid lineup going forward.
Seems pretty good.
Yeah. The other one is the Rams, who are third overall as of last week. They had a really good first game.
Yeah, they had an insane first game.
Well, they scored like 32 points or something stupid like that. Yeah. And they basically didn't do anything for a couple of weeks. But they picked up lately. They're about 55 or 60% owned or something like that, depending what site you play on.
Oh, is it that high even? Wow.
Yeah. But, they still might be available in your league. And they have a pretty good week 9, Giants 23rd. Week 10, Houston 19th. Good, except for Minnesota and New Orleans, week 11 and 12.
And the Texans, with the way that Watson's been throwing.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Week 10 is actually not as good as it appears statistically. Yeah.
So here's my take on the Rams. I think they've been very good so far this year. I think I would start them this week, and then I would drop or sit them for all of these next three games that are coming up.
Yeah.
I don't want them against the Texans, the Vikings, or the Saints.
Okay, fair enough.
So, but I think that they're a good start this week if you can go out and grab them, because the Giants have been so, so bad.
Do you think their point totals overall are misleading, though? I think third is nothing to laugh at.
I think it's way skewed by that first game. The defensive touchdowns that they had in the first game.
Okay.
They had two defensive touchdowns and two... They played Indianapolis in the first game because I won two fantasy weeks because I picked them up and plugged them in and started them week one. And I think they had two touchdowns, two interceptions, and two or three fumbles. They had an insane, because they were playing against Jacoby Brissett.
Okay.
And so,
here's the plan. Pick them up if you can. If you need a defense, pick them up and play them this week against the Giants.
Right.
Drop them. Pick them up again in week 12 to play week 13 against Arizona.
Yeah, Arizona seems like a good matchup
for the last week of the fantasy season. Yeah. There are a couple other very small notes here. We mentioned the Bears last week, basically owned by nobody, 10% or 15% owned.
Right.
We mentioned that no one was going to pick them up because they were playing New Orleans in week 8. They're actually on bye in week 9, so you can still probably get them if you want. They've been playing pretty surprisingly well. They're up against Green Bay week 10 at home.
There's been no Aaron Rodgers to throw 10 touchdowns against them like he always does against the Bears.
Yeah, exactly. They always get crushed. And Green Bay was 10th against defenses before Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
So you can imagine what they're going to be. They were 20th before. Now they're going to be even worse. And the rest of the matchups are pretty good, too. Detroit in week 11 is 25th. Week 11 at Philly, that's not a great matchup. But San Francisco in the last week, too. Good. So if you believe in the Bears' defense...
You don't think that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to save San Francisco from the Bears' defense?
No.
Probably not.
He's going to start, but it's going to take him a week or two to get up to speed.
Probably.
Yeah, at least. I mean, he's not going to start this week. So.
Right. So let's think about it this way. Dave is saying grab and hold on the Lions, D, if you can get him.
No, I'm saying
grab and play. Sorry. Yeah. He's saying Rams spot start this week.
And the last week of the fantasy season.
Right. And he's saying Chicago Bears, maybe stash for a couple of weeks and then start them next week.
Yep. That's it.
Yep. All right. So now's the time when we sign off. We thanks for joining us for our Week 9 Rankings podcast. I think that, you know, like we said, there's some slim pickings out there on the waiver wire again this week. But I think that's almost an opportunity for people to rise up and kind of sneak into your fantasy lineup. So you might really be able to surprise some people with some of the picks that you make. MathBox, I think, has a couple of really spicy predictions as far as towards the back end of both wide receiver and running back that you should be taking a look at. We talked about some of them here. You can take a look at our rankings that'll be published
on Thursday
as well. Yeah, so you can go out and take a look at the list and see if there's anybody farther down that you like, that you like the way that their points per opportunity look, but you don't like how we undersold their opportunities and things like that. So check us out on Medium at medium.com/fantasy-outliers to see the rankings article itself. If you want to get access to the spreadsheet that we base all of this content off of so that you can play around with the sorting and the data and the filtering a little bit yourself, just send us a note, podcast@fantasyoutliers.com. You can also give us a like on Facebook and you'll be able to see our post where we publish a link to the Google Doc that spreadsheet lives inside of. So that's all the ways that you can get at the Week 9 Rankings content.
Good luck in Week 9, everybody.
Please like, rate, review us on iTunes. Send us an email just for fun. And like Dave said, good luck in Week 9. We'll see you guys soon.
Bye.